A man and his wife were having an argument about who should brew the coffee each morning. The wife said, "You should do it because you get up first, and then we don't have to wait as long for our coffee." The husband said, "You're in charge of cooking around here, and you should do it because that's your job, and I can wait for my coffee." Wife replied, "No, you should do it. Besides, it's in the Bible that a man has to brew the coffee." The husband replied, "I can't believe that. Show me." So she fetches her Bible, opens up the New Testament, and shows him at the top of the page where it says, Hebrews. And that's our text this morning, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 16. You know, at the beginning of each year, the Queen of the United Kingdom bestows certain New Year's honors on people who have made contributions to the country there in their respective fields. You know, some receive this award or some other reward. Some people are knighted. In doing so, these people are recognized for their accomplishments. In the USA, we have the governing body of some of our sports organizations, and they do the same thing. Each year, they induct people into this Hall of Fame or that Hall of Fame. And, you know, it speaks a lot about that person and what they've contributed as a player to the sport. In Hebrews 11, we encounter a fake Hall of Fame. In this roster, we read the names of famous biblical characters like Abraham, Moses, and David. And the list is an extended one, as one might expect. Most of the names we recognize. And, of course, knowing their stories, they speak for themselves. However, there's a few names that might raise a few eyebrows. And one such name is Rahab. And we can't help but ask, why is Rahab considered in faith's Hall of Fame with all these people? What is her claim to fame? So let's read our text this morning before we get too deep into our study. In Hebrews 11, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was invisible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. But before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham was called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance. He obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land. Like a stranger in a foreign country, he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren and unable to become a father, and so from this one man, he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on this earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called the God, for he prepared the city for that. And it goes on and on, and it speaks of these things. The story of Rahab is told in Joshua 2:1. He tells us who Rahab was. She was a prostitute in Jericho. Now the term innkeeper also may have suggested that she ran a brothel. We ask, how could a prostitute be placed among these other men who were faithful, and like people like Abraham? And Joshua 2:2-7 describes her assistance to the Israelites sent there by Joshua. The story says that she hid the spies among some rooftop flats and then deliberately misled the king's soldiers, who ended up on a wild goose chase. We must ask ourselves, was this an act of courage? Was this treason against our own country? Was this an act of revenge against the city that surely ostracized her, as we do to those in her possession today? Joshua 2:8-13 provides an account of her apparent confession of faith. She told the spies that she is convinced that God had given the city of Jericho to the Israelites. Yet we cannot help but wonder, was this an expression of commitment and faith, or was it self-preservation and fear at work? We must restate the original question. Did Rahab really deserve to be in faith's hall of fame? Well, let's jump Hebrews 11:31. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. So we see she's named in this chapter among those of faith, with Moses, with Abraham, with Noah, all those people. So we see that, where she was. You know, the Holocaust survivor, Corrie Ten Boom, once said, although the threads of life often seem knotted, I know by faith that on the other side of the embroidery, there's his crown. Rahab had this confidence in unconfirmed reality. And that's what faith is. Faith in that which we do not see. Just as this person said, going through all the knots of life, as they put it, through all of the tapestry of life, the good, the bad, that we know that on the other end of that stands a reward for us if we're faithful to God. As chapter 11 tells us here, they died in their faith, not getting that reward. And we're going to leave this earth not getting that reward in this life, but in the life that God promises to us. And as we look out here, chapter 11 starts out. He talks out about looking at the heavens, at the universe, and knowing that someone created that. And that's not just a bunch of random events and particles that happen. I know scientists out there, they say, oh, there's got to be other worlds just like ours. And when you study it, it's amazing that we're even here at all. Just a few percentage points closer to the sun or a few percentage points away would make it too hot or too cold for us to even survive. That this earth is just the right size and in the right place for us to survive. We couldn't survive if there was no moon. We couldn't survive if at the center of our earth, which is unusual among the planets, we have a magnetic core. And you think, well, what's the magnet good for? Maybe a compass so that you can find your way. But that magnetic core protects us from deadly radiation each and every day. And if you have ever been up north far enough to see the aurora that they have, that's that radiation coming down where the arcs of the magnetic sphere come closest to Earth. That's that radiation hitting there that would instantly, in a short time, destroy all life here on Earth. You can look out and see out there and know that there's just too many coincidences, too many things, random things out there, the chance. They said it's kind of like the chances of everything just randomly coming up. It would be like a tornado going through a junkyard and assembling a 747 airplane. It just won't happen. Most things decay, and yet we grow, thrive, and survive on this earth. So it's easy to see that out there, there is a God. And it's easy to understand that we would want to seek Him and find Him, to find the Great One that created us, our Father. But Rahab had that faith of things unseen, and she had faith in that. So she had a reliance upon unproven knowledge. You can't prove it in a lab, you can only speculate about it. You can't see it, you can't hold it in your hand, you can't present it to somebody else and say, here's the proof of what God did. You can't. And those who don't have faith will always say it's an accident, a coincidence, or, you know, just random things happening. But for us, we see the order in the things that God does with us. Rahab claimed that she had knew all about the amazing exploits of Israel. This apparently convinced her that God was on their side. Let's think about this for a minute. Rahab's knowledge was all hearsay. She told the spies that we had heard what the Lord had done for Israel in Joshua 2 and 10. And isn't that what faith is all about? Someone coming and confessing that they were healed from an illness that kills most people. Someone coming and confessing that at the last moment, when I was going to starve, God found food and something for me to eat, or I was rescued. Isn't that what faith is about? It's just hearsay. And of course, what's called hearsay evidence? Well, if I say I heard so-and-so say that he saw so-and-so do something, that's inadmissible. Only so-and-so, who saw the other guy do it, or gal, or whatever, only he is an eyewitness that can come to a court and say, I saw this person do this. My testimony would mean nothing in a court of law. And that's what faith is. It's just hearsay. We don't actually see it, but we know that God has acted in our lives and acted each and every time we needed Him. And I know there's going to be the final curtain, the final act, when we leave this earth. And God is not going to spare our lives anymore, but allow our lives to expire from us. And that is the beginning of life for the faithful, because then we come face to face with God. We come face to face with our Savior, and we come face to face with all the faithful family members that have gone on before us, and all these great people that we read about in the Bible who express their faith. That's the reward, and that's the reward of faith. Just as she was rewarded with her life, we will be rewarded with eternal life. So she had heard about their exploits, but she didn't see them. Yet we can't help but admit our own faith works as much the same way, and we're dependent upon that indirect knowledge. We believe that in Genesis God created this world. We believe He did it in 6 days and rested on the seventh. And I'll believe it until God tells me differently. I'll believe it just as He said it then. And I'll believe in the characters of the Old Testament because Jesus called them out name by name. And the writers of the New Testament, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said to them by God, told them that they're real people. So we can't put God in a test tube, and we can't examine Him. We can't run some tests and observe Him or anything like that. You know, people look out in a telescope and say, well, I've seen a telescope. I didn't see God up there. Well, you're still looking in the wrong place. You're not looking in the right way. The Bible promises that Jesus is returning for His people and that He's now preparing a place for them to reside, John 14, verses 1 through 3. Jesus said before He was crucified, as we're studying the book of John, if I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm coming back for you. And we trust that and we rely on that. Now, we've never been to heaven. We've never seen these mansions. We've never met Jesus face to face. Yet this book when someone shared it with us, when someone showed it to us, it had an effect on us that has lasted till today, and we pray that it'll last to the day we expire from this earth, that we run this race, and this book speaks to us. It's not gibberish, it's not foolishness, it's not fables, it's not antiquated ideas, it's not mythology or anything like that. But it's the truth of God. If God created and man seeks, wouldn't God communicate? And here he is. Christian writer William Ward reminded us, he said, faith is knowing that there is an ocean when you've seen the brook. Rahab saw the brook. We can also see the brook. Faith is reliance upon unproved knowledge, for by faith we understand. So what he's trying to say here is we can see something. We can see the world that God created. And if there's a brook, and there are many brooks, then there must be an ocean, for all that water flows towards the direction of the Lord's point. So there's enough for us to have faith. There's enough for the whole world to have faith if they reject it. But we look at this Bible, and we see the wonderful words of God, and we see a hope and a promise that we want others to believe in too, that we want to believe in all the days of our lives. And despite the ups and downs, despite the battles that we wage with this world and its prince, who tries to say it's foolishness. You know, as I was driving into church this morning, I saw all the people who were headed other places. They were doing other things today. Church and God was the farthest thing from their mind, even though they were looking square into God's creation. They were going as far away from God as they wanted to on this day, the Lord's Day, when they should be worshiping somewhere. So we sense Rahab's appreciation when she refers to God as the Lord, your God, Joshua 2:11. Might she be asking herself, what if this God does not accept me? She wanted to be accepted by God. All relationships in our world are verified in one way or another. You know, sometimes it means a piece of paper. So we have birth certificates, marriage certificates, baptism certificates, affidavits, passports, identification cards, driver's licenses, diplomas, professional certifications. All of these documents are there to try to show that a person has been validated in some sort of way. But there's a validation that doesn't come with a piece of paper. And that's the validation of the love that we have for each other here. The love we have for our families, for our spouses, for our parents, for our children, for all those, our cousins and uncles and aunts and, you know, on and on. God speaks to us. So we know we can talk back to Him. Hebrews 11:6 reminds us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's one of the reasons I do preach on faith a lot. Because we got to have it. And what we have, we need to add to it. We need to grow in that faith. We need to be able to weather every storm in this life, no matter how bad it gets. Because they will come. There will be knots, as the person said, to be undone. There will be knots in our lives, in our stomachs sometimes, for what we go through. You know, as the Allied soldiers swept through war-torn Germany near the end of World War II, some troops came upon a bombed-out house totally reduced to rubble. As they cleared the rubble, they discovered a somewhat intact basement. On the basement wall, an obvious hiding place of a Holocaust victim, were etched a Star of David and the following words, "I believe in the sun, even when it does not shine. I believe in love, even when it is not given. I believe in God, even when He does not speak." You know, that Holocaust victim, like Rahab, learned the simple truth that faith is an allegiance to an unverified relationship with someone. We can't verify it, but we know it's there. We know that God is there. We know that He's watching on us, and we know that He takes care of us. She also trusted in that unsubstantiated promise. Consider those of Faith's Hall of Fame that we read about. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They didn't receive what they got promised, but they looked forward to it. All they had was promises in their life. Until the day they left this earth, a lot of those promises didn't get fulfilled. We're struck again, over and over again, by these people. The faith they showed, even in the face of an overwhelming world that would have us believe that we're in the wrong place this morning, reading the wrong book, doing the wrong things, because it means nothing and it's all foolishness. You know, the only time the world goes to God is when they have no means to save themselves. When all else is lost, well, I guess I'll pray to God, and that'll be my last hope. Like grasping at the straws of a drowning man in the water, they're not going to save themselves if that's the only time they go to God. God wants a relationship with us during the good times, during the hard times, during the ups and downs of our life. He is there for us. He doesn't want us there sometimes. He wants us there every time. You know, there was a Christian lady who did a lot of traveling in her business, and she was kind of a nervous flyer, so she'd bring her Bible, and she'd read her Bible, and it kind of helped calm her nerves as she, you know, trusted somebody else in the cockpit to guide her safely several miles from the earth, going thousands of miles away. Well, a man who was kind of cynical and an atheist turned to her one day, and he kind of laughed and said, you know, she said, "You don't really believe all that stuff in there, do you?" The lady replied, "Of course I do. It's the Bible." Well, he said, "What about that guy that was swallowed by the whale?" She replied, "Oh, Jonah. Yeah, I believe in him. It's in the Bible." He asked, "Well, how do you suppose he survived all that time in that whale?" And he said, "Well, I don't really know. I guess when I go to heaven, I'll ask him." The guy replied, "Well, what if he isn't in heaven?" The lady looked back at him and said, "Well, then you can ask him." You know, faith requires that we look beyond the obvious, the physical world, to see that we're here for a reason. That we're not random. We're not the result of a random assemblage of atoms and molecules. That we're here for a real purpose. You know, faith is only faith if it extends upon the obvious. If you have faith in what you can see, that's not faith at all. That's relying on a tangible, something that's there that we can see. You know, if we look and we have a roof over our head, then it's not faith if you believe if it rains, you're not going to get rained on, because you can see the roof. Faith is only faith if it extends or goes beyond what we can see. It's about allegiance to an unverified relationship. It's trust in an unsubstantiated promise. And that was the faith of Rahab, a lowly person, a harlot, the lowest of the low in her community. But she had faith. People who have such faith show that they are looking for a country of their own. They seek a country that's not this country. They seek a world that's not this world. In John this morning, as we were reading, he said, if you don't hate the world that you live in, you're not going to get to me. You're not going to get the promise and the reward. If we don't hate the evil that we see in this world, if we don't hate the sin that we see in this world, if we don't long for a place that is absent from those things. You know, if you work in life and you worked at a place where everyone in there was you know, pretty hard and harsh and rough, and they told dirty jokes all the time, and they, you know, didn't have a stitch of Christianity in them in any kind of way. And you were a Christian, you knew how rough it was to deal with that every day. And then if you had a chance to go someplace where maybe some of the people there were, you know, religious, as they say, and they didn't speak that way, and how wonderful a place that is where people are kind of like-minded in the way that they believe in God and they believe in Jesus, and, you know, they don't believe in doing those kind of sinful things. That's like us, longing for that place where never again do we have to hear, see, or have anything to do with the evil of this world. We're looking for a country of our own. They realize that they are pilgrims in this world. We're only traveling through, as the song says. And faith gives us the eyes to see that there's something better out there, and that God has a kingdom, not seen by man, that will take us someday, and we'll live there forever with Him. With such faith, each and every day, we wake up, and others like us wake up with that pursuit of God. We're seeking God. Like the deer pants for water in the forest, we long to hear from our God, and we long to see Him. The ultimate compliment to faith is this: therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. This is why God is not ashamed to include Rahab in His Hall of Fame. And no matter what our life has been, or the things we've done, and no matter how evil we may have been, or, you know, what kind of history we have, God will not be ashamed to be called our God if we'll put faith in Him. Faith in God will be rewarded in the end. We'll be in a country with others like us. And together, we can walk and praise God together. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't that a place to be? Isn't that a goal? I hope that each and every one of us is seeking that this morning as we go through our lives. If you have need of the church this morning, won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?